go on to the next case, which is 132267, Malik, Nadim E. Malik versus Holder. And good morning, Mr. Sager.
Good morning, Honors. Please, the Court. My name is Jason Sager. I am here on behalf of the appellant respondent, Mr. Nadim Malik. This case is from the Board of Immigration Appeals on a denial of an affirmation of a denial of a motion to reopen I'd filed with the Immigration Court based on new evidence that was available after the case had previously been denied by the immigration judge. On the merits that my client had not been able to show that his marriage was entered into in good faith in 1998. The IJ had ordered him removed. And
was he represented at all stages of his proceeding?
I did not represent him at the Immigration Court, but I do believe he did have an attorney at that point. I'm not sure who it was.
So he was in all stages?
I believe so, Your Honor.
Okay.
After the IJ had made the decision and denied his request to renew his green card based on the marriage being entered into in good faith, the marriage had fallen apart, unfortunately, and they were unable to file a joint petition to renew his green card. He filed a petition on his own and asked for a waiver based on the marriage being initially entered into in good faith. There was little evidence available, though he did submit letters that they had corresponded when he was still in Pakistan prior to him getting a visa and coming here, as well as some affidavits from friends who were witness to the marriage, and I believe some photographs. Both families had attended the wedding in Pakistan. IJ did not consider that evidence to be sufficient. And
yeah, because the IJ had a problem and felt that this evidence could have been submitted before, because it wasn't just her affidavit, but afterwards he had a statement for a joint bank account in his name and Harris's name. But interestingly, all he submitted before was the bank statement in his name. So why couldn't he get that joint account? The affidavits from Harris's mother and his brother and father, why couldn't he get those before? Why did those come late after the ruling?
It was my understanding that those were all submitted at the initial hearing. The only new evidence that we had was the letter. He finally got in touch with his ex-spouse, just by accident, actually been trying to get a hold of her, and submitted a letter from her that she'd be available to testify that the marriage
was okay, so I got confused, right, because of the timing. So that was submitted beforehand.
Correct, Your Honor.
Wasn't he always in some contact with her mother?
I think they lost contact with the family after he moved. They had a lot of problems in home, and he left.
But she was, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but at least he knew where she was, the mother.
He had some idea where she was, but any efforts he'd had to try to contact them were not fruitful up until that time.
Whatever happened, that just seems to be so fatal to the extent that she wasn't hiding, I guess, the mother. And the mother is the one that sort of arranged this marriage in the first place, or at least put them together or something. And it seems to me that would have been where he spent a lot of his time, as opposed to just waiting until he says, well, when this issue comes up, this is the whole cornerstone for his ability to stay here. He's got to somehow verify that marriage.
Correct, Your Honor.
He didn't show up the first time they were supposed to come together, for apparently they had already split.
Correct.
So, nothing. He didn't show up and say, she left me, but.
Right. They lost contact, and he was unable to get in touch with her or anybody on that side of the family, unfortunately. And that is important for his case, and which is why we're here now, because this is new evidence that he had tried to get, he couldn't get. By accident, they were able to get in contact with her because somebody saw her at a mall, and she was willing to cooperate and provided an affidavit and is willing to be present in the court to provide evidence, which is has a direct bearing on his eligibility to keep his green card, because it's provides an additional evidence, more glue in the aggregate, to show that the marriage was, at the inception anyway, legitimate, even though later it did fall apart. It didn't work out because of their differences, because of the family situation there. It doesn't mean that it was fraudulent. It just means that it didn't work out. And we don't have to show that, you know, all we have to show is that at the beginning it was, and they had a marriage, that several hundred family members there, as well as correspondence back and forth between the two of them.
The reason I asked, of course, whether or not he was represented at all stages of his proceedings is that he did not make his, you know, assertions in an affidavit. And, of course, statements in a brief, are, you know, that's not evidence.
Right.
And the burden to reopen is, you know, couldn't be a heavier burden. Oh, these discretionary cases are terrible.
Well, we feel that there is enough evidence, and it wasn't available. He tried to get it. It had been available.
Let me just stop you for a minute, because Judge Mannion clarified it where I had gotten confused on the facts. That, you know, the key was the mother, Harris's mother, and her being able to contact the ex-wife, and then the whole issue of the affidavit that Judge Rovner raised, because that's really, I mean, he needed an affidavit. He needed an affidavit that just explained, you know, I've tried this, we've looked it up on the internet, we've done this, I've contacted her mother won't respond to me, you know, something to show that he made some effort. Then he'd be in a, you know, a better position to say, this is new and I just got it, and there's no way I could get it. Mm-hmm.
Right, there was no affidavit submitted. We just found the new evidence, and we submitted that with a motion to reopen. There was a 90-day deadline to do that. There is new evidence available, and it does directly affect his case.
And the other problem was he had 2 years from 2009 to 2011. The case was pending for 2 years. He had four different hearings during that time.
Correct, and he couldn't get the evidence, so it wasn't, I mean, he obviously, it's in his best interest to present as much evidence as possible so he can stay here. And this is why we've been going through this very long process. So, if he could have gotten it, he would have gotten it, but he didn't, and he couldn't. So this is why we're trying to present the evidence, because I think it shouldn't go in front of the judge so he can consider it. It is evidence from a person who was involved in the marriage. It's his ex-wife. She would know. So I think that is very probative and has a direct bearing on whether he can keep his green card or not, and should be considered at the trial level with the immigration judge.
Where is he now?
Mr. Malik? He's here in the United States.
Thank you. They're making the most of your plane ticket.
Yes, ma'am. Saving money. May it please the Court, Your Honor, Sabatino F. Leo on behalf of the United States Attorney General. Your Honors, what the issue here is whether the Board abused its discretion when it denied petitioner's motion to reopen, where petitioner failed to provide previously unavailable material evidence. And what is important to note is petitioner has failed to provide anything, and as the Court has indicated, failed to show that the affidavit of his ex-wife was previously unavailable. We heard petitioner's counsel speak of efforts, speaking of unable to get it, speaking of how difficult it was, speaking of that this is his individual's ex-wife. However, as the Court properly noted, statements of counsel are not evidence. There's nothing in the record to suggest that this evidence could not have been procured earlier, or what, if any, efforts had been undertaken by the part of petitioner in this particular case with regard to a statement from his former spouse and the conditions of their marriage and the subsequent deterioration of that particular marriage. Your Honors, the initial denial that occurred, and just to get the facts, I guess, in order here, the initial denial of the I-751 was in August 2011 by the immigration judge. And what subsequently happened to that was that petitioner moved to reopen that particular case based upon this quote-unquote previously unavailable evidence. subsequently appealing that position to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and the Board of Immigration Appeals agreeing with the immigration judge and setting forth quite clearly that there's nothing in the record to indicate any diligence on the part of petitioner with regard to procuring this affidavit in the some 2+ years, as the court mentioned, prior to the immigration judge's hearing and subsequently even during that motion to reopen phase, which was approximately 30 days later when that motion was filed. An abuse of discretion is very difficult. Motions to reopen are very, very frowned upon in the immigration section, in the immigration sector. And clearly, as stated in numerous decisions, does this agency decision provide no rational explanation or departs from established policies? Is it devoid of any reasonings? Or is it only summary or conclusory? Is it, in essence, an arbitrary and capricious denial of this motion to reopen? And I think what's adamantly clear, based upon the facts of this particular matter, is that there is nothing set forth in the record regarding any of these efforts undertaken by petitioner to procure this affidavit from his former spouse. So, in your honors, it's abundantly clear that the abuse specifically did not abuse its broad discretion here when it denied petitioner's motion to reopen, where petitioner failed to provide previously unavailable material evidence.
You know, in these immigration cases, the petitioners are often unrepresented or not represented throughout the proceedings, or at least underrepresented, you know, financial reasons. Does the government think it necessary to stick rigidly to the rule that evidence must be presented in an affidavit and is meaningless if merely argued in briefs?
I think, Your Honor, there has to be a sanctity to the immigration proceedings. If we were to allow solely evidence that was procured after the fact, then it would result in a seemingly endless immigration system, meaning there would never be conclusion. There's countless cases that speak to that, why motions to reopen are so frowned upon. And I would submit to this court that the record indicates that this particular petitioner was, in fact, represented by counsel from the very beginning with regard to the I-751 and onward, was represented by counsel. And I understand this court's concern with the strictness with regard to the applications of this particular rule with regard to motions reopen. But there has to be, this court, as I'm sure has heard numerous occasions, some type of gatekeeper, some type of limitation to preserve the sanctity of the immigration system, or else you'll have individuals continuously filing motions to reopen ad infinitum, Your Honors.
Such a sad case. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
We respectfully request that the petition be denied. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. You have 2 minutes.
Not arguing against the sanctity of the immigration system. what happened was his wife disappeared and couldn't get a hold of her. He didn't submit an affidavit to that effect, but the fact is that she did reappear after the final decision was made, and she is available to testify now. This is an issue that goes directly to his eligibility for the claimed benefit. They're attempting to revoke this benefit and deport him. And we also have to understand the sanctity of the human being, of his life, of the fact that we now have evidence to show that the marriage was legitimate. And that's the whole point. So we should be able to show it to the proper authority, the immigration judge in this case, so he can consider that evidence, as well as consider it in the context of the evidence that was which was submitted before, which we don't think he even properly reviewed that evidence, the letters, the fact that they had a marriage together that both families attended, that there's enough evidence to show that there's more likely than not that the marriage was entered into in good faith. And that's really the point here. Whether he explained or did not explain the fact that
when she did reappear, she submitted an affidavit. She's kind of a party to this case, too, because she's the one who initially submitted the petition for him to get his green card anyway. So if she wants to be heard in court, I think that justice should allow her to present her side of the evidence on why the marriage was entered into in good faith.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case will be taken under advisement. Thank you.
Yep.